1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we begin today. As you're turning there, I want to remind you that we are receiving a special offering today, and that is for missionary Lynn Rayburn, who God is leading to a new mission field and a new mission opportunity. And so he was our guest speaker last Sunday night. And I think you can read about it in the bulletin there. But what we're going to do there, if you put your offering and designated it and gave it during the regular offering, that'll be fine. It'll be separated out. But we're also going to post ushers at the door as you exit so that you can give your love offering to Brother Lynn to go toward his new ministry field. But right now, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Would you stand with me as we read 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord had said. And he went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chose this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And so he sent and brought him. And now he was ruddy, bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again we come to you asking for your blessing as we examine your word. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what you've prepared for us. Lord, I pray that you will open my mouth to speak your word. Not mine, but your word, Lord. Glorify your name in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to introduce to you today a new idea. An idea that usually never occurs to your average child of God. And that is that God wants to do great things. Did the light bulb come on? Do you hear the music? Nah, it's heavenly. I can hear it. God wants to do great things. But if he's going to do great things, he's probably going to do it through us. Okay? Because he's always used people to do his great works through. Most people, quite honestly, go through life going to church and They call that good. I want to challenge you. Don't settle for mediocre Christianity any longer when greatness awaits you. You see, up to this point, we have been studying this book of Samuel and the life of Saul, and it's been about recognizing God. Today we're going to shift just a little bit. We're still recognizing God, but the shift is going to be from recognizing God, yes, we still need to do that, to trusting God. Do you trust God? I mean, no matter what, do you trust Him? We don't have the answers, do you trust Him? We sang that old song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, the older I become, the more I realize the profound truth of that song. If I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to have peace, I'm going to have to learn to trust God. And if I'm going to learn to trust God, there are some things that I've got to learn about God. And first thing is, you can't trust what you feel. I mean, everything today seems to be based on feelings. And Samuel is facing a very difficult time in his life, the prophet Samuel. And the Lord asked Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? The reason he was mourning for Saul is because Samuel had consecrated or anointed Saul as king through the direction of God. That word mourn in the Hebrew is a very strong word. It's a word used to describe the grieving process of someone who had lost a loved one. So I want you to understand Samuel's heart at this point. It wasn't that he was sad that God had rejected Saul. It literally broke his heart. You go back to the time when God consecrated Saul as king, and you see the joy. 1 Samuel 10:24. Samuel's making the announcements before Israel, and he says, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is none like him among all the people." So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king!" It was a time of rejoicing. God had given them a king. It was good stuff. And now, Saul has blown it, for lack of a better way to put it. His disobedience, his rebellion, repeated, I might add, has brought him up to a point where God has now said, "That's enough. I've rejected you as king of Israel. I've got somebody else." And when God told Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:10, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, 'I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments.' And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night." You see his broken heart here? Oh, he just, "God, this was the guy. Lord, I announced him before the people." Samuel, at this point, he's faced with a task that he really doesn't want to do. It's a task that's hard, that's difficult, but God's calling. And you know, we're going to stop right here and we're going to realize something about God. That is that God will ask you to do things you do not want to do. You ever think about that? There are times when God asks you to do things that you really do not want to do. Sometimes it's because our want to is broke. Have you ever had your want to broken? Meaning, I want the wrong things. Okay? I have. Sometimes I don't want the right things because I don't have the big picture. Sometimes it's out of fear. And sometimes it's just because I'm content where I am. And I don't want anything more. I consider the life of Moses. Go back to his time of Egypt when he left Egypt and ran for his life. And then in the desert as he kept his father-in-law's sheep, he's approached by God, and God says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. Moses said, huh? Moses, I want you to go deliver my people from Egyptian bondage. And Moses said, oh, wait a minute, God, who am I? Who am I that I would go before Pharaoh and demand that he let his people go? You want me to, let me give you the Hebrew translation in modern English. God, I don't want to do it. God said, no, Moses, you're the man. Moses said, Lord, what if they don't believe me? Translation, I don't want to do it. God said, no, Moses, you're the man. Moses said, but God, I'm slow of speech. I can't talk to go before Pharaoh. Again, translation, I don't want to do it. And finally, at the end of that story, the Lord says, Moses, you're my man. And Moses said, God, send anybody but me. I don't want to do it. Just because you don't want to do it does not mean it's not God's will. Does that make sense? I mean, sometimes it's hard answering God's call. And know this, God's kingdom is not built upon your desire. God's kingdom is not built upon what you want or what you do not want to do. Jesus, as he labored in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did not pray, not thy will, but mine be done. He prayed, not my will, but what? Thine be done. You see, so just as soon as an opportunity that God opens in your life, do not reject it. First thing that comes to mind is preachers. You want to know, I have yet to meet a preacher who made it the goal of his life to be a preacher. I've just never met him. I've met a lot of preachers who went through the same process. God says, you're my man. And the preacher said, no, I'm not. God says, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. And so he runs like old Jonah run, you know, and spent sometimes years, sometimes just 2, 5, 10, on and on. He goes, you know, and then the strangest thing happens. The light comes on and he realizes there's a desire that God has planted in his heart. Hey, I really do want to preach. I really do want to serve the Lord. And you know, it's not just preachers. Deacons. You know the Lord calls deacons? Okay? And there are people, when it comes to deacons, and we're going to be looking for some deacons here before long because the growth of the church is, it continues to climb, and we're going to need those. But let me ask you, if you're approached would you consider this? Somebody's recommended you, and would you consider this? Don't let the first thought of your heart be, Lord, I don't want to, because that is not a factor in the decision process. Now, do not suggest that you do something you know that the Lord would not have you do. But I don't want to is not a prerequisite to the will of God. Okay? Teachers, nursery directors, children's church, you know. So often that first thought is, no, I don't want to. No, listen. Back up. God just might have something great that He wants to do through you. You can't trust your feelings. Number two, you can't trust what you see. Oh, that's where faith kicks in. All right, Samuel, he goes to Bethlehem, and he finds Jesse doing what God told him to do, and right off the bat, Samuel calls him for this sacrifice. And right off the bat, he sees Eli, Jesse's son. And he says, whoa, this has to be the guy. I mean, he looks strong. He is strong. He's good looking. And God tells him something very important. Verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? The heart. The inner man. Now I want us to stop right here. And I want us to realize, do you realize God knows what's going on inside you? All right, and we read this, that God looks at the heart, and we think, oh, that pure heart, and it's deeper than that, okay? It's much deeper than that. The reason it's important is because God will ask you to do difficult things as a child of God. Not just things you don't want to do. He's going to ask you to do hard things, and these hard things that will require qualities that can't be seen by the human eye. Qualities that reside on the inside. Things like courage. You know, I can't see courage. I look around. I look around today. I see a lot of really good looking people. And there was no amen. Y'all just blew it. Y'all just blew it. I look around today and I see your appearance. I see some wearing suits and ties. I see some wearing shirts and blue jeans. I see some with long hair, some with short hair, some with gray hair, some with no hair. I see a lot. But you know what? I do not see what's going on inside. I cannot see what's going on inside. I can't see the qualities that you have inside. You know, the qualities like courage. God's going to call David. And one of the first things that David's going to have to do, he's going to have to face a giant. A giant that nobody else in Israel wants to face. You know, everybody else is hiding every time Goliath steps out and says, I challenge all of Israel, send a man over. You know, and everybody runs and hides. And then there's this little red boy. He says, come on, I'll fight him. Doesn't that sound like a boy, a teenage boy to you? Come on, I'll do it. David has courage. David has wisdom. David has patience. These are things on the inside that nobody can see but God. Now, granted, God put them there. All right? But I think about the patience of David and the endurance of David. David, at the end of this text that we just read, he's going to be appointed king, but guess what? It's not going to happen immediately. He's got to go through a lot of difficulty. As a matter of fact, in serving Saul, Saul's going to try to kill him. More than once, Saul's going to try to kill him, and David's just going to have to sit down and wait on God. As a matter of fact, there's one time that Saul is chasing David, and David's hiding in a cave, and Saul goes into that cave, and David has the chance to kill Saul. I mean, he could have ended it all right there. And he chooses not to. You know why? He says, I will not lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. That's patience. That's endurance. He knew that he was going to be king. But all these qualities on the inside that we can't see. And what I want you to realize is God knows what's inside you, even if you don't know what's inside you. I've had people tell me, oh, Brother Doug, I could never preach. Yes, you could. God puts it inside you. Okay? I've had people say, I can't keep the nursery. Yes, you can. God puts it inside you. You can. As a matter of fact, you have more trouble not keeping the nursery than you do keeping the nursery if God's put that inside you. You see, I want you to realize that God, in every child, in the life of every child of God, God has you on this earth for a reason. And He has equipped you to serve Him. And that sometimes you have to make those hard decisions and say, stepping out on faith and realizing that God has made you who you are to glorify Him. And that goes way beyond sitting in a church service. That goes to the point of how you serve in your life. God's still calling great people to great ministries. And that's you. Listen, don't shy away from the difficult things just because they're difficult. I give you an example. What should be on the inside of every child of God is how to decide to be faithful in church. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. You know, this is where you say, preach on. Let her go, preacher. Come on. How to be faithful in church. You know what happens? You see, you wake up in the morning and on Sunday morning and you think, boy, this bed feels so good. You've got a decision to make. Do you have enough on the inside to make the right decision? Oh, we can lay out today. Nobody will miss us. Yes, they will. Guess who will miss you? God will miss you. I mean, He's the reason you come anyway, right? I know things hinder from time to time and get in the way. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as the rule of faith and practice. Make the difficult choices. Let your family know you go to church on Sunday morning. When I was growing up, I never asked, are we going to church tomorrow? You know why? Because my daddy looked at me and said, have you lost your mind? It's Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. What's happened to that attitude? Huh? People aren't doing the difficult things anymore. It's inside you to make those difficult choices. Even when the kids say, I don't want to go, you tell them to get up and get ready. We're going to church. You know? Do the difficult things. It's inside you. Tithing. Every once in a while, a preacher has to hit tithing, you know. Do you tithe? Why? I just can't afford it. Do you not have the faith to tithe? What's up? Yeah? Honestly, okay? I want to tell you. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I cannot afford not to tithe because my ends will not meet if I do not tithe. Okay? I've been there both sides of it. And you know, I've struggled and I've dealt with, you know, in my maturing as a Christian, I've discovered I can do way more with 90% than I can with 100%. Those qualities are inside you. You've got to be willing to make those tough decisions. Standing for what you believe in. Oh, here's the tough one. You know what we need in our schools today? We need teenagers who are willing to say, no, I don't do that. You know, that's the kind of guy that David is, you know, and we're going to see that in his life a little later on. But so often, the move of today is, I want to be popular, I want to be accepted. No, we need young people who realize who they are in Jesus Christ and who will say, that is wrong and it will not be in my life. Amen. Oh, Brother Doug, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. No, I'm not. I'm a child of God. Amen. Who's learned through the years that we need people willing to do the hard stuff. Yes, they may point their finger and laugh at you. You just point that back and say, I don't care. You know? You can't trust what you see. You can only trust what God places on the inside. You know? Then we go on. You can't trust who you know. Here's the good one. 7 sons pass before Samuel. He's there, and all these boys, and he tells Jesse, get your boys. I need to see your boys. And march them in front of me. And each boy passes by, and Samuel's saying, that's got to be the one. God says, no, that ain't him. Another one passes by. Is that the one? No, that's not him. They do it 7 times. No, that's not him. No, that's not him. No, that's not him. No, that's not him. Finally, they run out of boys. Samuel looks at Jesse and says, hey, something not right here. Are we missing somebody? And Jesse says, oh, yeah. The youngest, he's out there keeping the sheep. Samuel looks at him and says, well, duh. Get him here. We're not going to go any farther till you bring that boy here. And so he brings David before him. And this is the point I question. You know, why didn't Jesse include David from the beginning? You know what I think? I think it's because Jesse, I don't think it was being disrespectful to David. I just thought he thought the lad was too young. There was no need in the world for David to be there. He could go keep the sheep while the older boys, you know, come take care of business. But Jesse was wrong. You see, people don't understand oftentimes what God wants to do in the lives of other people. And that was a classic case. He would have never imagined God choosing his youngest son to be king. I figured out something. Everybody has an opinion. Have you noticed that? Everybody has an opinion. As a matter of fact, everybody has an opinion about what you should do. Have you ever noticed that? Don't you love those people who say, I'll tell you what you should do. When they tell you that, it's just like, no. I used to, as a young preacher, I used to make some comments, and boy, I look back and I think how dumb I was. But I used to think, well, boy, if I was that preacher, I wouldn't put up with that. It was just stupidity. Other people can't know what God has in store for you, is the point there. They can't pretend to look into the heart of God and know what God is calling you to. Sometimes other people can be very discouraging. When I was a young man, I was dealing with the call to preach, and you know, you struggle with it for so long, and there was a guy in the community that I had a lot of respect for him, and I said, you know, I've been dealing with this, and boy, I just don't have peace with it, and he looked at me and he said, well, yeah, preaching, everything's nice. He said, but how are you going to make a living? Wonderful question. Wasn't real encouraging. But you know what? God has provided. And I'm very blessed from that perspective. What I'm saying is, don't count the opinions of other people too highly concerning your spiritual life. Because they don't get it. God's not dealing with them. He's dealing with you. You can't trust the opinions of other people in spiritual matters. All right? Have you ever heard somebody say, I think God's calling you to preach? Don't listen to them. I think God's calling you to be a teacher. No, don't listen to them. They're not God. All right? If God's calling you to preach, you get along with God. Get on your knees. Yeah, it's okay to talk to other preachers. You know, ask them what happened to them. But don't let other people make the spiritual decision for you. All right? They don't understand. You can't trust who you know. But I'll tell you who you can trust. You can trust God. I love this picture. I just really do. Everybody is so... is just so not on board with God in this story. Samuel doesn't want to go. Jesse doesn't have a clue. But God had a clue. You see, God knew this young man who spent his time out in the fields keeping the sheep. And I've often wondered, you know, I wonder what David's life was like out there. He is described as a man after God's own heart. You know what that word after means? It literally means a man who has a heart like God. A man who likes the things God likes. A man who has the desires that God has. A man who, out there in that field, time and time again, you know, I have no doubt that he's out there with those sheep with nobody to talk to but God, and he's talking to God. God's had David pass in front of him, and he said, there's my boy. There's my boy. Anoint him. You see, God is always right. All right? Have you got that? You're here today. Maybe you're young, maybe you're old. Maybe you're in between. God, right now, He's been calling you, drawing you, and you've been fighting and coming up with excuses and the I don't want to's. Let me tell you something. Have your attention for just 1 minute. God's right. God's right. And for you to have joy as a child of God, you're going to have to come to grips with the fact, hey, God's right, and I can trust God. You know, God had big things in store for David. Yeah, and it was, and they were good things. Whatever God's call is for you in your life, I want you to understand, God doesn't want to mess your life up. Okay? He does not want to mess your life up. I promise you. And for some reason, Satan plants that in our mind, and we think, boy, if I answer God's call, it's just going to ruin my life. No, it's not. You know, when my life got good is when I answered God's call. You may be here today. God's been just breaking your heart for a particular ministry. Maybe He's calling you to a mission field. Maybe He's calling you to preach. Maybe He's calling you to be more active within our kids' ministries or Awana or whatever. I'm not going to pretend to be the heart of God, but I will tell you this without hesitation. You will not have peace until you say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. We talk about trusting God. You see, that's what trusting God is. It's when God leads, you having the confidence in God that God knows what He's doing, and you stepping out and say, yes, Lord, let's go do it. Are you saved? Okay? Are you a child of God? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, why not? Well, Brother Doug, it scares me. God wants to take you to heaven. How is that scary? Okay? He wants to deliver you from your sin and from hell. How is that scary? Jesus said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? Will you be saved today? Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, and you've been putting it off for whatever reason. Why would you put off a God that you trust? God, I trust you. I'm here for a reason, and you brought me here for a reason. And so here we go. I'm going to join the church. Maybe it's for baptism. Maybe it's a particular ministry. Can you truly, sitting where you are today, realize that you can trust God with the rest of your life? If you can't, buddy, you need to spend time in prayer. And I say that lovingly, okay? God loves you. He wants to make your life worth living. Will you come in this invitation to make the commitment that He's laid upon your heart? Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to serve You. Lord, it's not a chore. It's not a drudgery. It is a privilege. And Lord, I know, In just looking at this call of David and the greatness that You had in store for his life, I look at where we are as a church, and I know that You have great things in store. Where we are as individuals, I know that You have great things in store. Help us just to back up and realize, Lord, we can trust You. Therefore, we should obey You and answer Your call. In Jesus' name I pray.